The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized, and he said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Terry Mattingly, a religion beat writer I like to read, who happens to be the son of a Baptist preacher, but is now Eastern Orthodox, was pulling out some of his past material this week. And he reflected that it was just a couple years ago, if you asked Alexa or Siri, when is the Advent season? They wouldn't know the word Advent. It responded to him at the time, I don't know an Ed Fant. Likewise, if you asked when did the Christmas season end, it wouldn't recognize the 12 days of Christmas. I asked the same questions of a couple of modern AIs, and each did better. Both Grok and Microsoft Copilot knew exactly what the Christmas season was. Christmas to Epiphany. Their Advent answers were a little garbled, but essentially correct. When the old Protestant mainline ran the social calendar, and the Methodists and the Presbyterians looked to the Episcopalians for their cues, Advent had its space. I left out the Lutherans because we Lutherans are an other in American religion. We don't really count. were too continental, except when the Episcopalians wanted to have an outside voice helping them with the liturgy. And then they usually regretted asking us. But that world started disappearing before I was born. And probably had its last bit of strengths in the 1980s. About the same time that schools started having winter concerts instead of Christmas. And your kids sang more songs about dreidels and snow than the Magnum Mysterium. The fading of the old main line left two things to replace it. The Baptists, who never followed a church year calendar, and the corporations, whose calendars wanted to be sure that your Christmas gifts were bought safely in the fourth quarter. Forget any 12th night celebrations, three kings bearing gifts, or anything else that might prevent making that year in bonus. And not even the Roman Catholics, combined with the rest of us historical Protestants, have enough social heft to really fight against the corporations, which causes a problem. Advent is a necessary season. Its themes of waiting and preparation and longing and hope are the closest that we have to the situation of the church in this world. We always want to rush on to the feast day, to the celebration. But what we risk when we do that is showing up to the wedding without the wedding garment. We risk the seed springing up fast, but not developing the root. And when the sun rises, it wilts. So, for those of us who are tasked with exhorting and encouraging the faithful towards maturity, there's a little bit of a pincer. We know that you have to go through John the Baptist. You have to hear his message before you can get to the manger. But the entire world is singing Santa Baby and All I Want for Christmas Is You. If Alexa were answering the Christmas season, not because I'm the only one that's asking that, but according to the world's practices, she would answer the starting the day after Thanksgiving is the Christmas season, and it ends the evening of the 24th. The city follows that. While we are out in the wilderness wearing camel's hair and eating locust, crying out in the loud voice, prepare the way. Although, if we are looking at Luke's portrait of the baptizer, he's kinder to John. Yeah, John is in the wilderness, but he leaves out his odd clothes and his odd diet. Luke concentrates on John's message. Isaiah poetically said that he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, say, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, and that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And we might ask practically, what does he mean by that? And Luke's answer is shown to us in the actions of the baptizer. And I think he's got two parts. The first part is the apocalyptic warning. You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And the second part starts when you've heard that warning. What then shall we do? The core of the apocalyptic exhortation is, one who is mightier than I is coming. And his coming is not some far-off thing, but it is very near. And don't think that you have any standing to argue anything before him. Those Jews don't think that you can say Abraham is our father. Whatever it is that you think gives you standing before the coming one, don't be so sure. Even now, the axe is at the root of the trees. As Malachi would say, and maybe you can hear Handel's air go playing, who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appeareth like a refiner's fire? The apocalyptic is to wake us up. Advent is that solemn warning. The winnowing fork is in his hand. The threshing floor is being cleared. The wheat into his barn. And the chaff into unquenchable fire. This is all flesh seeing the salvation of God. When the Lord that the baptizer proclaims is coming, there's a division. All flesh shall see the salvation, and all flesh has seen the salvation. Christ was lifted up. He was lifted up on that cross for all the world. For all flesh to see the salvation of God. And while John baptized with water for repentance, here was the baptism of fire. And this salvation is held before us all. This is the fire. The fire that refines or burns away. Now, we might not like that image of fire, but it can be, and for you it should be, good news. God loves you enough that he thinks you are his gold or silver. You are a precious metal worth refining. You're something worth coming to reap. You are worth sending messengers before him to prepare the way. And the Holy Spirit calls all of us to the foot of the cross. The Holy Spirit calls all of us through this baptism of fire. This fire of repentance. And that first act of refining is the question that the crowds return when they've been struck by that apocalyptic. What then shall we do? If we can't avoid the fire, how are we to endure the day of his coming? And this already is the fruit of repentance. Because they know they cannot stand. We know that we cannot stand. We know that we have dross to burn away. But what shall we do so that we are fruitful trees and not just the kindling? And the baptizer's answer to some representative voices from the crowd is rather commonsensical. None of his answers are veneers of piety. He doesn't say we should go on pilgrimages. He doesn't do extreme things like Jesus would occasionally give. Go, give away everything you have and follow me. No, the baptizer's answers are modest. They're for the crowd. But they are targeted at our presenting sins. If you have money, 2 tunics, plenty of food, share with those who have not. Our temptation is to trust the things of the world to provide. Even though the things of this world are eaten by moth and rust, no, the only eternal things that we see in this world are our fellow humans, those neighbors that are placed before us. If we want to have eternal treasure, use our temporal things for the good of the eternal. Use what we have for the good of our neighbor. And then the baptizer responds to tax collectors and soldiers, those who had office and charge. Carry out your office. Don't abuse it. To many of the crowd, that would have been terrible. The tax collectors and soldiers were symbols of oppression and treason. But the baptizer acknowledges that they have a legitimate office. They have a legitimate and God-given charge. And he doesn't tell them to leave it, but to carry it out faithfully. Like using the material goods for the good of our neighbor, use any authority that we have been given for the good of our neighbor. What then shall we do? How do we prepare the way of the Lord? We love the Lord by loving our neighbor. If we've heard the apocalyptic warnings, if we've seen the salvation of the Lord, then we live lives of preparation, for the day is coming. The kingdom of heaven, which has drawn near to you in grace, is coming again in glory. Today is the day to make the paths straight, to fill the valley and to bring down the mountain. Anything that separates us from Christ, anything that we might desire more, any crooked place that we kind of like that crookedness. Today is the day to hear the word and prepare. Today is the day to love the Lord your God by loving your neighbor. today is the day to bear good fruit for tomorrow. The day of grace shall end. And the kingdom and the King of glory shall be revealed. And only what is refined will last. Amen.